Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 243, recorded January 10th, 2012, live from CES. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup, automatic, continuous, unlimited backup for your computer files for just $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com, and don't forget to use the offer code Windows to get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Ford, featuring voice-activated Sync App Link. Now you can control select smartphone apps with your voice, so you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Check it out in the 2012 Ford Fiesta and at Ford.com/technology. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, a very special Windows Weekly, because I am not in Boston or New York City. I'm in Las Vegas, live from the Consumer Electronics Show. Mary Jo Foley is in New York City, where she is gratefully avoiding the CES craziness. Hey, Mary Jo.
Hey, Leo.
Great to see you. And Paul Thurrott also here from Massachusetts. I'm surprised you were here last year, Paul. You didn't want to come, huh?
Try to go to every other one, you know?
And yeah, then because
I guess if I had known Microsoft was going to bail, maybe I would have done things a little differently.
Yeah. People, by the way, raved. Last night, Steve Ballmer gave the last keynote.
It's like the last Mohican.
Yeah, it is. Microsoft has announced that it won't be back next year for the Consumer Electronics Show. So we thought it'd be pretty important. We streamed it live, and I am told you guys did. I couldn't watch it. I was on a plane, but I'm told you guys did a great job as the snarky kids in the back of the class.
It was my finest hour, Leo.
So, it felt like we were at the Rose Bowl parade narrating what was happening.
And here comes the amazing 13-voice tweet choir. They are going, they're about to sing tweets. That was a strange.
Make it no.
I have no idea
what they were saying. I still have no idea what that was about.
Hashtag.
I thought they were going to live sing actual tweets, which would have been fairly interesting.
Well, I thought that's what they were doing, wasn't it?
I think they did.
Oh, yeah. They did.
But I don't know where they were getting them from, and did they have to? This is me, but I'm sitting there watching. I'm thinking, did they have to memorize those tweets just a second ago backstage? How are they knowing what to sing?
And I don't mean to be sacrilegious, but didn't every single one of them have like one of those priest collars on?
They did. It was just.
Were they all priests?
No, it's.
I think it said Las Vegas Mirage on them, though,
I think it was a religious choir, but I don't know.
I'm pretty sure one of them was the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, too. The whole thing was very strange.
He did look like that, didn't he?
He did.
But that isn't, of course, the most important part. The most important part was that Ryan Seacrest was on stage.
Right. It was nice to focus in on that with laser-like precision.
I thought actually that was a good idea because it made it more relaxed. It gave Steve a chance to talk instead of, prance around.
Which night do you think was bigger for Ryan Seacrest, New Year's Eve or the Microsoft keynote at CES?
I think speaking to Steve Ballmer probably is much like speaking to Dick Clark. They're probably a good training one. No, that's not right. So
there's no recovery.
There was a big announcement, and you had predicted last week that there would be a Kinect for Windows, and indeed there is. Is it exactly what you thought we would see?
I guess I didn't know what I thought it was going to look like. And so when the picture came out, at first there was a false alarm. Somebody from Neowen took a picture of something. I'm like, is that it? And everyone's like, no, but it looks exactly like the Kinect for the Xbox, I believe. It's just the innards that are different and the development kit. But it looks just like the Kinect
we already
knew.
Which is actually too bad. They should have made, or maybe they will, some sort of a mount for this thing so that it can mount on top of a monitor. Because isn't that how most people will, or many people would typically use it?
Or in front of the monitor.
I put my Kinect at the bottom of the TV. I mean, the big thing is it's $250, same price as a consumer Kinect. It's available February 1st, but the big thing is you can be closer to it, which you said you would have to do because...
Yeah.
Kinect
I've always wanted to get closer to the Kinect, so this is going to be nice for me.
Harry McCracken is joining us from the Technologizer blog. Harry, great to have you. Welcome. Did you go to the Ballmer keynote? Yeah, so you were actually in the room. So here's a guy who had who could smell it.
Wow.
Yeah.
The possibly final Ballmer keynote, although they seem to be leaving the door open.
Oh, are they?
For future ones.
Oh, interesting.
They said they were taking a break.
Though they're not never coming back. They're just taking a break. It's not you, it's me. I'd like to take a break.
As I said
and
last
see
night, it's like someone who died is taking a break with life.
They're retiring.
Yeah, I think Gary Shapiro wants it to not be the last one. I'm not so sure Microsoft doesn't
he
want
just
it
doesn't
to
understand
the
they're not that into him. He'll get the message eventually.
Yeah.
I was just doing a Kinect gesture. I don't know if you saw that. The gesture.
Is that the Kinect jazz hands gesture? That's going to be the new one I'm going to popularize.
We saw those last night a few times.
I want to pause my TV with jazz hands. Is that too much to ask?
So the Kinect for Windows is a new, is it Minority Report? Is that the idea? Anything you have to say about the Kinect for a desktop computing, Harry? Are you thrilled? Will you run out February 1st and pick one up?
Well, I think it's potentially exciting. I mean, during the keynote, they made it sound like this is the next great era
right.
in computing, which it's not clear if it's going to be that, but it is cool.
Do you think it's more, is the gesturing more important or the dictating? Because that's part of what Kinect does, is it lets you talk to it.
Well, we know the gesture is important just because on Kinect on the Xbox, it matters a lot.
And right.
Voice, kind of nobody cared much about until just recently. And even though Siri is far from perfect, Siri has gotten everybody right. interested in voice stuff.
Siri actually is, for me, underscored how frustrating dictation can be because at least half the time when I dictate a long paragraph to Siri, it just comes back and says, no. Doesn't even say anything. It just doesn't do anything.
Voice is definitely one of the stories out of CES because Samsung had
voice TVs.
Voice-controlled TV. Yep. And I can't think of previous CESs of much news involving voice input.
So, Paul, I'm sure this is not Mary Jo writing this. Ryan Seacrest as the epitome of Metro.
It was me.
It was you! Mary Jo, I'm getting bad at predicting.
Paul and I are becoming one.
You are.
You can't guess which one wrote it. Right. We're equally snarky now, so it's hard to tell.
He's turned you into another snarker.
He has.
So, but I thought that, I haven't seen the whole thing. I've just watched clips, but it seemed like that was a good way to kind of tone down Steve Ballmer and make him more human.
I thought it did the opposite. When Ballmer does the keynote all by himself, he looks kind of subdued and unhappy.
And, miserable.
And I thought the fact that he was not entirely responsible for running the thing made him more Ballmer-esque.
Oh, dear.
And to me, more engaging and entertaining. And I like him better when he's a little crazy.
Yeah, the crazy Ballmer.
I agree with that. I mean, and actually, if anything, it gave you that juxtaposition of the two personality types. So every time Ballmer said anything, he came off so much louder and bigger than Ryan Seacrest that it sort of further highlighted, you know, what that guy is like. I thought it was.
At every Ballmer event, he's always screaming and shouting. That's not true at all. He is usually rather subdued, and I'm not sure if he's entirely comfortable in that role. Usually,
that's interesting. See, I've only seen the clips. You know, developers.
Those two clips. And both of those, he was talking to developers and Microsoft employees.
Yep.
You're motivating salespeople, too. You act differently than if you're presenting a product to...
Talking to the press, I think, he's not quite as comfortable in. But he did seem comfortable yesterday. Maybe because he knew it was the last time he would be doing it.
Here's the surprise. I'm comfortable.
Right, like going in for the last chemotherapy session or something. We're done with this. Excellent.
And I am out of here. they didn't say anything new about Windows 8, did they?
They kind of recapped stuff they'd shown before, right. Primarily. They talked about the Windows Store beta coming out in February. But I don't think there was any new news about Windows 8, nor that did anybody expect that there would really be new news.
Right. Paul, did he say anything about the phone at all? Or
Yeah, but same thing with Windows 8. It was really just a recap of, in fact, the sort of new information in that it was new of that day around the HTC Titan 2, the Lumia 900, the LTE stuff that's happening on AT&T had all been previously announced earlier that day at separate press conferences.
Right. Nokia had its. By the way, we now know it's pronounced Nokia. Steve Ballmer has confirmed it's Nokia.
She used to be pronouncing it yet a third way. I've heard before. It was more
Nokia. Oh, dear. I've
always said Nokia.
Yeah, me too. I'm sure Elop has a call in to Steve and will explain.
I don't think Steve and Elop can say it. He's from Canada.
Oh,
most people
maybe that's
probably
the
have the worst accent for saying Nokia.
That's the problem. Nokia. It's a Nokia phone. I do like this. I'm playing with. I have the in my hand. Oh, there we go. The HTC or I'm sorry, the HTC Titan 2.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't. Can I take a picture? I'm going to take a picture because 16 megapixels. Have you played with this at all? Anybody?
No.
Allow the camera to use your location. We have now. We have a product person. The camera adds a tag. Yes. Allow. All right. I'll take a picture out here where there's lots of detail. Hey, you know what? I can't tell if it's better or not. Let me give you the image.
We'll zoom in on it.
Yeah, here, zoom in on the image.
Might be it.
You know, I think it looks. I think 16 megapixels in a sensor of this size. Is pretty meaningless.
It's just going to give you big pictures from a file size perspective.
Once you get beyond about 3 to 4 megapixels, they don't inherently help, and they can hurt in some cases.
Right. Yeah, it's not like a full-frame sensor in here. I don't know what the size of it is. Probably an eighth of an inch.
And the image processing software is at least as important as the sensor, if not more so.
I don't see a lot of clarity there. This is the full-size shot. So it's a numbers game. They're just saying 16 because it's twice as good as the other guys.
And, you know, it's so crucial that the shutter work quickly. Because if you get bogged down like you do with a lot of phones, it's very hard to take.
Well, let me try that. I agree because it's one thing that both the Nexus, the Galaxy Nexus, and the iPhone 4S do very well. They're very quick. One. No. Two. Three. It's about, at best, 2 a second. There's some save time going on. You can take sharper pictures by using autofocus. Oh, now that's new. Press the camera button. Is this new, Paul? Press the camera button halfway down and then take a picture.
Oh, Leo, that's so cute.
Well, my camera does that, but I haven't seen that in a phone before.
Is that Windows a new phone feature?
Is that always? Because
yes,
on the iPhone,
yes.
You tap, yeah. And then it does it.
Yeah. You can also tap the screen to take a picture, I believe.
Yeah. To take a picture. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
Not super fast. Well, this has been a great
demo. You're supposed to be testing Windows Phone. What are you doing?
I have the phone I have. I like a lot, but actually the one I really... it's a toss-up between this, which is really nice, but I'm thinking that the Lumia 900, they also... Nokia announced that earlier.
I think the Lumia is going to have the better camera.
Better than 16 megapixels? It'll have a Zeiss lens. It'll probably be... It's 8, right? I think it's
some Nokia cameras, phones have really nice cameras.
Nokia, I know, is wrong. I'm just saying, Harry. I don't know what Steve said, but Nokia is definitely not
maybe
right.
Nokia.
Palmer definitely said Nokia.
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 I think maybe he did say Nokia.
Nokia.
It's actually an eight megapixel. Yep, on that one. I'm looking at the spec list.
I don't think Surface got mentioned.
It does widescreen shots, though, and it has a pretty decent lens, I believe.
The Nokia?
Yeah, the Lumia 900.
Let's just say Lumia. We all agree on how to pronounce that. Xbox, anything there? Did they talk about... You know what I'm really curious about? Did they talk about the Xbox TV stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Comcast.
Verizon's Fios cable.
They showed a demo of an interactive version of Sesame Street where you can throw stuff using the Kinect.
Oh, that's cool.
And Grover catches it in a box.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's not a CGI Grover. It's a puppet Grover.
It's puppet Grover. How do we know?
Well, it might have been the world's best CGI, but they claimed it was real, and it was pretty neat. Wow. They call it interactive TV.
Play the intro to the keynote, a little of that. I thought that was kind of fun. They had a montage.
The weirdest, of all the, you mean the song game. Bit, the video.
Yeah, the Pogo remix. It's a Pogo remix. 15 song. Years of Microsoft keynotes at in one.
Do you, before I do that, let me ask, do you have the capability of pulling up my screen? All right. I will play it then here. It's on YouTube. You search for Microsoft Pogo Remix. I don't know why. Only 65 people have looked at it so far. Maybe we can get those numbers up by playing a little bit right now on Windows Weekly. It's a Metro interface, and it's paused. This is, when you guys are on Skype, we don't have a lot of bandwidth, so I think I probably shouldn't be playing. Maybe I'll play it at a lower resolution, see if that's the better. We have 6 megabits that we're using for our stream up to you guys, but that's one connection. Yeah, I can't get it to play. Come on, YouTube. Here we go.
11 speeches from Bill, 4 from Steve, 8, count them, 8 celebrity guests.
I'm sorry. You know, we'll just, when we edit this, we'll just stick it right in there. Let's do it again one more time. 4 attempts to play this video. That's funny. That's nice. They're saying goodbye.
Click type code.
Are they going to show in it blue screened?
What's called in video has the same PC devices. Devices.
Oh. Bill Gates. Oh, it's frozen again. I apologize.
Just like just Windows 98.
This is a bandwidth.
Devices. Devices.
All right, well, is anybody going to do anything, or should we just move on?
Conan, that was a good person to have on stage, I thought. I liked having Conan there. I'm starting to worry a little bit. I hope Bill's getting enough calcium in his diet.
Jeez.
Help me out here, guys. You know, you don't have to just sit there in silence, in appalled silence. You can speak.
I'm actually going to go out and head back into the madness.
All right. Harry McCracken for the Technologizer. Any thoughts, last thoughts about...
Should we just move on?
I don't know if you guys talked about Ultrabooks before I got here. But
just briefly.
I'm actually sort of excited about Ultrabooks because it's such a vaguely defined spec that it can be almost anything, and there's some nice machines. That
what's your favorite right now? We've looked at the Lenovo uninspiring, the Toshiba uninspiring. I'm excited to see the Vizio because I like brushed aluminum.
Well, at the keynote yesterday, they were talking about the Dell, which is being announced today, being exciting. So I would keep an eye on the Dell.
Okay.
And the HP Envy looks nice, too, even though it's not even all that thin, but it's a nicely done machine.
Can you trust a company that decided this year to get out of the PC business and then get back into it and buy a PC from them? Do you think people know that they announced they were not going to make them anymore? And will that hurt them?
I'm not sure if normal people pay attention.
Maybe
to
it's
stuff.
Normal people don't know or care. Yeah, Harry, it's great to see you.
Great to see you.
Enjoy CES, Harry McCracken.
You too.
From the Technologizer blog.
Bye, guys.
Bye, bye.
They did something about Windows 7 Momentum. Then they did the Windows 8 demo, and then when they went back to hardware, they talked about Windows 7 hardware.
Windows 7 again. That was super confusing.
I was really surprised by that. I mean, yes. I think it was okay for them to talk about the Ultrabook stuff. You know, the Windows 7 stuff, of course. But right. To not show Windows 8 stuff when all of their partners are at the show busy doing just that was very strange to me. I was very surprised by that. I mean, the other thing I would say about the keynote, and just to sort of keep it in perspective, because this is something you can see on Twitter. Everyone on Twitter is saying, oh my God, what a disaster this was. So boring. We already knew all this stuff. They didn't announce anything new, you know, as if we as a collective group of people on Twitter were somehow representative of the outside world, you know. I mean, I think as far as the whole world is concerned, Windows 8 is still something that's obviously is coming down the pike and it's still interesting. Windows Phone is something no one knows anything about. And then Xbox 360 is, of course, successful with consumers, so it's always good to talk about it. And I think, you know, from that perspective of you're going to see a 30-second clip about this on the news, Microsoft has talked about Windows 8, Windows Phone, Xbox 360. And, you know, frankly, that's what they should be talking about.
Yeah. And we can't always judge ourselves as the audience. Like, say this a lot because we've seen everything in that keynote because we go to every single Microsoft show, right? So
So we're jaded and
snarky, jaded, all those things.
Well, it's certainly jaded. But we're disappointed for us, you know, because as enthusiasts of this stuff looking for gleaning any little minute new thing, you know, we're looking for anything. And they didn't really throw us a bone last night. And I think that's sort of personally upsetting. But the truth is, you know, for the wider world, I mean, they know what they're doing.
No, I was thinking, Paul, one thing you brought up last night when we were talking that I also talked about today in a post I did, you know, we were watching for like, what were they going to show Windows 8 on ARM wise, right? Like, were they going to show us anything more on Windows 8 on ARM that we didn't see already? And, you know, everybody was like, oh, did you see, was the desktop app there? Wasn't it there? And it seemed to have been there.
And does it mean anything? Which is really the tricky bit because.
I know. Yeah.
You know,
they never opened it. They never opened it on ARM.
Well, even if it opened. Really, I mean, in other words. Yeah. There could be a situation right now. You know, the way Windows is built is that they have different teams doing different bits. So that build that they had, which was probably specifically shot off the side of the trunk for this show, was based on the old code from the beta, from the developer preview, had a couple of additional features baked into it, may have nothing to do with what Windows 8 beta looks like or what the eventual final version will look like. So we try to, that's what I'm saying, you know, we try to glean these little bits of information, but the truth is, yet when you really think about it, we just don't have enough to say definitively anything, frankly. And I think that was their aim.
We didn't know which build were we seeing. We have no idea, right? Was it the interim, like the near beta, what people are calling the pre-beta?
Well, the beta era builds are going to have a different looking desktop, you know, start screen. Who knows? That's the thing. So they very specifically did that on purpose. They, you know, they had the developer preview start screen on there with some additional features, you know, like they did, by the way, in September, like you pointed out. I mean,
they showed
us semantic zoom in September, even though we didn't get it. So it's not like they hurried up to add that so that they could demo it. Someone already had that working. They had just had never given it out to us.
And Texas Instruments was showing, a couple people pointed out, a Windows 8 on ARM at CES. And again, you see the desktop app there, but nobody was allowed to open it, right? So is that just, you know, there for show? Is it really there? We don't know.
I am sure they are very specifically telling these guys, look, here's what you can do. Here's what you can't do. And I don't know what the repercussions would be if that didn't happen, but. Hopefully, with all the, you know, the kids milling around at CES, someone will get their hands on one of these things, and someone else will distract the guard while they tap around. And, you know, they'll find something
else.
Well, that's how this stuff happens, you know. So we'll see. But yeah, based on that keynote event, they did a very good job, I think, of locking it down and preventing onlookers from gleaning anything from it. And again, I think that was their intent. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then I also heard from a listener of Windows Weekly this morning who said he was watching. I think he was watching a live blog or a live cast of Qualcomm's press conference there. And he said he saw Windows 8 on ARM with no desktop app showing. So, it doesn't mean anything definitively, but it's interesting. Everybody's kind of still not able to figure out what should be a very black and white.
I'm going to look now. I mean, can you do it? No, on the Intel, let's see. Yeah, you can unpin the desktop even from the developer preview.
We're back at CES at the show floor, and we have Mark Peng here from Coupa, KUPA Corporation. Hey, Mark, speak right into that microphone there. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Where's Coupa based?
We are based out of Germany, Frankfurt, Germany.
Aha.
And we have our North America office is in Santa Monica, California.
Have you been making tablets all along?
We've been making it for about 2 years now.
Android based?
Windows based.
Windows based.
We've been making Windows based tablet for 2 years now. This is our second product.
Yeah.
We are very excited about the upcoming Windows 8. And we want to show you guys what we have using Windows Preview.
Great.
Now, this product is already out. It's been running Windows 7 Professional. But the most common question we got from our user is that we'll be able to run Windows 8. So we did a little test our own, and some of our buyer customers actually did that too. And that's what we kind of have for you guys today.
Steve Ballmer said at his keynote last night, anything that can run Windows 7 should run Windows 8 just great. And that, I guess, includes tablets. Right. Well, what we'll have you do is, we've got a camera here. If you prop it right where that water was, you could keep it on the table. That's all right. Just move it over and prop it up. We've got our camera operator here, and you can give us a little demo of the tablet.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about the specs of the tablet first. It's a little thick.
Yep. Oh, yep.
Is it an ARM? It's not ARM. It's an
Intel CPU based.
Yeah.
It runs an Ultra CPU at 1.5 gigahertz.
Okay.
2 gigabyte RAM. And this one has a 128 gigabyte SSD in there.
Wow. And that's a big SSD for a tablet.
And it has 10 hours battery life. That's very long for a Windows-based tablet.
Did you notice 8 giving you the same or better battery life than Windows 7?
It's about the same. I think they're still kind of optimizing the
core. The developer preview. This is very early.
You'll see a little bit of hitches here and there, but it's pretty smooth.
Well, give us a little demo. Show the screen.
Absolutely.
You can see on that monitor over there what it's looking like.
So you're
doing it to that camera, but if you want to see what it looks like, there you go. Now you can see.
There you go. So this is the Windows, say, the Windows 7
the new Metro interface. Yeah.
So instead of what we normally would do to go for the start menu, if you want to run something, touch on the side, and you can see how menu pops up. And here, instead of finding that application, you can actually click search, and you can either type in the name of the application
great.
You need, or you can do what we normally
scroll
do, just go through it.
Yeah.
Or instead of searching through app, you can also search the different things. Now here they have build and memories. I assume that they'll have pictures and videos in there where you become searchable.
Right.
So you don't have to go through the your directories and find what you're looking for.
Right.
So this is the search function really has been expanded for Windows 8.
That's something that we missed, the idea that you could click the start button and start typing the first few letters of your program and it would launch.
Right.
It was such a great feature in Windows 7.
Right.
So I'm glad to see they put that back into
Windows 8. And I think that's what, especially for touch, where it is hard to navigate through some of the start menus. And this is probably will save a lot of users a lot of headache by
now. I noticed you have a stylus. You don't have to use a stylus. It's
you
a touch screen.
You don't have to stylus, right? So, and another way that you can use Windows 8 is that if you want to switch to a different programs, instead of finding that the icon, you can actually flip on the right side.
Flip through like cards.
So you'll kind of flip to the next one. Now for users,
it's multi-touch, right?
It is multi-touch. And
how many points at a time?
2 points at a time.
2 points at a time.
Right, and plus the stylus. And when you use the stylus, you will override
the multi-touch. Is it pressure sensitive or no?
It's very special. It's pressure sensitive.
It is pressure sensitive.
Up to 1,000 to 1,024 level.
Wow, that's great.
So, and for users who are interested to the standard, desktop. This is our familiar Windows desktop.
Right.
And here I'm showing the pressure sensitive. Sorry, that's
like a pen.
You can see
there
how
you
can a different level of darkness. There, you can go through it. So this is
practicing. Artists will love this. It's like a Cintiq. I see you also have a thumb recognition, so it's got some biometric security.
It
on
does. It's not set up. We don't have the drivers for the Windows 8 yet,
okay.
So it's still in the process.
Got
but
it.
I think this is a must-have for any tablet because you have your tablet with you all the time.
Easy to lose.
Easy to lose.
Yes.
But you also want to access your data quickly. You
right.
don't
want to
punch that
right.
password on the screen
right.
all the time. And this biometric will save you all the time and give you some security.
I'm impressed that you could get 10 hours out of an x86 processor. That's that's amazing.
And I agree. It's a bit thicker than some of our competitors, but that's because we do think the battery power is very important.
So it's a big battery. Yeah.
Right. And we think one of the ways to use tablets, one way people use it is to use two hands.
Right.
And you can type it as clicking.
Right. Right.
But the other way is you can actually hold it like a book.
That's very common.
And then you just draw this way.
Right.
And with us, this is a lot more stable.
Right.
And you can you can use the different features of the Windows tablet much easier.
It'd be great for OneNote. Does it have a fan? It has a fan in it, looks like.
This one does have a fan. We could use a fan as a solution as well.
That's possible. Okay.
Right. That is possible. But we feel with fan, it gives a much better performance.
And also, it's not as hot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so this is very cool. You can run it all day long.
Right.
You'll feel... in room temperature.
What kind of ports do you have on there? SD card?
I got
card?
Two USB ports.
USB?
One mini HDMI. And this one is 3G capable too, so you can pop a SIM card in there.
Uh-huh.
It's unlocked, so you don't...
Wow, now that's cool.
Korea.
That's cool.
Right. You know, send an external microphone jack and a headphone jack.
So you're selling these today for Windows 7. How much?
For $699 for Classic. That's with 64 gigabyte. And this is the top model, Lux. And it comes with a 128 gigabyte and 3G. And it's $969.
That's a good price. And we don't know when Windows 8 will be available. So you're
we
just...
don't.
availability on the Windows 8 version at
right,
this point.
Right. A lot of our users wanted to know. They brought us to actually try Windows 8. So you know, here we are. We just want to show.
Flip through Metro so we can just see the responsiveness of it, just to get a sense of. It feels pretty snappy.
Yeah. And I think I'm sure you know this is a preview version. Beta is coming out in February, and it's going to be even faster.
That will be much faster.
That'll be big. Yep.
Mark, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank
Coupa,
you.
KUPA. What's the website?
Website's KUPAWORLD, CoupaWorld.com.
Very good. Thank you for coming by. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Leo.
Mark Peng from Coupa. And there is a Windows 8. Well, it's a Windows 7 tablet running Windows 8.
Right.
And running it nicely. Running it very well. Let's send it back to Paul and Mary Jo with more. I know that there's a lot more to talk about. They want to specifically, I think, talk a little bit about the Lumia, the Titan, and the Samsung Mendel.
Yes, we do. So, yeah, we were just talking amongst ourselves here about the Lumia and all the good stuff they showed at the AT&T press conference around the Lumia. That actually looks like an awesome phone, the 900, with the front-facing camera and all that.
Yeah, I, you know, in sort of a hands-off first impression, I would say it looks like the current front runner. In the Windows Phone world. I need to see it, you know, but I think the camera looks strong. Obviously, it's LTE, which is great. It's on AT&T, which is fine for me. I think it's 16 gigs probably of non-expandable storage, which, you know, some people are going to have an issue with, but yeah, that one looks good.
Truth is, if you've got a tablet or a mobile device, Carbonite's great because you can log into your Carbonite account from your desktop and there's all your data. So it's cloud storage in addition to backup. $59 for all the data on your internal drive. They also have external drive packages and business packages that are multiple computers. It's all there at Carbonite.com. Do use the offer code Windows no matter which one you want to sign up for. You'll get 2 weeks free. And when you buy, 2 months extra free. 14 months for the price of 12. You got to back it up to get it back. So do it right with Carbonite. So we are going to go back to Mary Jo. We can't, unfortunately, due to technical issues here on the show floor, have a kind of a conversation. I wish I could with Mary Jo and Paul. But they have lots more to talk about, including these new phone devices. We just saw the HTC Titan 2, which is sweet. I'm going to see a Lumia. I think there's a Lumia sitting in my she won't let me hold it. I might be able to touch it, but we'll get a look at that Lumia in just a second and more. So let's send it back to Mary Jo and Paul Thurrott.
We hit on the Lumia 900 earlier. That one looks great. And then the HTC Titan 2, again, that was the one, I believe the code name, was it Radiant or?
Yeah, Radiant.
Like that. So basically the same device as the original one. It doesn't have a removable battery, but it has a higher capacity battery. And it has a much better camera. And I guess we'll see whether that, you know, bears out, but so, you know, double the pixels anyway, double the megapixels. Also LTE. So I think those would be the three big changes. And then you have a note about the phone that wasn't announced at CES.
Yes. The one that we've heard about called the Samsung Mendel, code name. We haven't heard about that one yet, right?
I haven't heard a thing. I mean, presumably a LTE version phone of the Samsung Flash, perhaps?
Yep.
Focus on
AT&T?
Flash. Right? On AT&T. We know it's on AT&T.
Yep, but no word. And also, the other thing we didn't hear a word on was the availability date. Nobody said. They said in a few months you're going to see all these phones, right? But we have heard, Paul and I have heard, that March 18th is the date for the Lumia 900 at AT&T. So no one's confirming that.
It's also worth noting, I saw you had a post about the arrival of the 800 in the U.S., which is a surprise.
Yeah. I know. So that was interesting. I was combing back over the Ballmer keynote, which is in transcript form now, so you don't have to sit and rewatch the entire thing.
There's no choir in the transcript version.
No choir. It just has no choir here. But here's an interesting little sentence we didn't hear last night or didn't notice. It says the Nokia Lumia 800 will be available in the growing base of Microsoft physical stores unlocked in the next few months. So it's already out unlocked in Fry's. A couple people have sent me links to that.
It's an unlocked version of the phone.
Exactly.
That's some interest.
Yeah. Going to be pricey, though, I bet.
Yeah, it's going to have to be in the $600 range, I bet. Yeah.
But that's still cool because some people wanted the 800. The 900 is the one with the front-facing camera. The 800 doesn't have the front-facing camera.
Right. And reports, I've not used one much. I mean, I just, you know, basically got my hands on one very quickly at the launch last fall there. But reports are that the camera isn't great, you know, that it's not one of the top Windows Phone cameras. So that's too bad. And also, apparently, depending on where you live, you may have trouble getting access through AT&T because it only supports one of the network types that AT&T uses here in the U.S. And some, you know, depending on where you are, that could be fine. And depending on where you are, that could be disastrous. So it's probably one of the many reasons they're not selling it normally, if you will.
Right.
Which raises a separate issue, by the way. They never talked about the Microsoft stores. You know, they talked last year about how they were going to dramatically increase the number of these stores, which wouldn't be hard because there are maybe, what, 7 of them or 9? And there aren't any, well, there are only 1 or 2 here on the East Coast, certainly none near us. And they had provided a map at some point. You might remember this where they kind of said, look, this is where we're going to go. And it was like looking at AT&T's network coverage map. You know, it was like everywhere. And we haven't heard a thing since. And it seems like this would have been the ideal time to at least, you know, mention the store.
Yeah, I mean, I'm betting part of the big reason they're holding back on stores is probably connected with Windows 8 again, right? Like, they're going to have a big launch of stores when they finally have Windows 8 tablets and PCs and Windows 8 phones. I mean, Windows Phone 8.
I get nervous at silence. You know, it's one of the many reasons why the silence around Windows 8 makes me nervous. The silence around Windows Phone makes me nervous. But in the case of Windows Phone, Windows Store, the reason I'm nervous about it is it doesn't suggest, but it is possible that the reason they're silent is because they've completely retracted those plans and are not going to do that now. And again,
I don't actually think that's it, though.
Okay.
No,
I'm the worst case scenario type person. So
yeah, the one they've got to put in. I mean, the one that is just such a obvious exclusion is New York, right? New York City. Yeah. Apple's like putting up stores left and right. Now we've got one in Grand Central, like right down the street from me.
It's only a matter of time before there will be an Apple store across the street from another Apple store. You know, yes. I mean, that's how fast these things are popping up. It's crazy.
Yep, I know. So, yeah. But one more thing to say on Windows Phone that we were talking about also. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the specs for the Lumia 900, it lists as the operating system something called Mango Commercial Release 2, which is interesting because everyone's like, wow, what's that? So I went back and asked Microsoft and they said it is Mango plus the 8107 fix, which is the disappearing keyboard fix that everybody is up in arms over lately. So if you see anything that says that, you must have it. Yeah, but you might not have it. We don't know if we're going to get it, right? That's a whole other can of worms around, you know, how is Microsoft going forward going to be disclosing which phones get which updates and when?
Yeah. That was the controversy du jour this week with Windows Phone. But, you know, the more I think about this, and I think I'm gonna, an editorial I wrote about this will probably be out today, but it seems like all that's changed is that transparency bit, you know, that they're not really changing the way they do updates. They're just changing the way that they report them. And I think there's a bunch of reasons for that. And some of them are fairly most of them are fairly legitimate in the sense that, you know, the ecosystem is getting more complex. There are more phones, there are more updates. I mean, you as a user in the United States do not hear about the French version of a Windows 8 update a Windows 7 update. Nor should you about the phone. And I think that maybe that is their point, you know, that we'll let you know when you are getting one and you really shouldn't worry about it. You know, people who are involved with technology tend to overthink things, I think, a little bit, and they want to be on top of this stuff. And why can't I have everything? Why I hear security, I get nervous. Apple gets all the updates, you know. I hear you and I get it, but I think really they're just trying to make it something that's not part of the conversation. And by doing so, they've made it the conversation.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, the blog post that came out late Friday, right before CES, I mean, the other thing that it had in it that really set people off was, so we've given the 8107 disappearing keyboard fix to the carriers, and now it's up to them what they're going to do with it. And
so that's how great those guys
that
are.
That whole controversy started again, like, wait, the carriers can hold this back.
Like I've handed your baby to a serial killer. He'll be fine.
Yeah. So we don't know, unless you start seeing the notification for it, we don't know if it's coming to our phones or not. And Microsoft's not going to say, and I'm sure the carriers aren't going to say until it's time to finally get it or not get it. So, you know, I saw a bunch of people tweeting, that's it. I want to have visibility into when my carrier gets it so that I can push back on them. Well, I don't know how much luck you guys have had pushing back on Verizon and AT&T and T-Mobile. I haven't had a whole lot.
It's like pushing back against gravity. good luck. Here's a theory for you. And I literally this flashed through my head, but we were talking about Microsoft's kind of veil of silence around Windows in particular. That seems to be their strategy. Do you see this lack of transparency with Windows Phone as maybe an attempt to move in that direction, that maybe Windows Phone is starting to come under the direction of Windows, and that as those guys look at what Windows Phone is doing, they're kind of saying, wait, you're not really reporting what's happening with this stuff to people, are you? I mean, you know, because when you do that, you set up this situation where that's what people expect. And maybe they're trying to back away from that a little bit and be a little bit more like Windows is.
You know, I hadn't thought of that till you just said it, and now you're giving me indigestion.
Now you're never going to be able to get it out of your head.
Because, it's not the only division of Microsoft that's happening too, right? Like we're not hearing all the updates we used to about Windows Azure anymore either. I mean, the secrecy is starting to permeate more divisions at Microsoft. And so it's natural, I guess, to think it could come to phone as well and may. As I rant every week, I feel like I don't mind when they don't talk about things they haven't announced because, you know, they want to have some big reveal and some element of secrecy versus their competitors. But for things they have started talking about, you know, like a disappearing keyboard fix or something like that, I don't think secrecy is the right way to go. Once the cat's out of the bag, it's out.
I never think it is, but yep, I hear you. So I guess we have to go back to the CES stage with Leo.
Leo Laporte, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, Windows Weekly, live from the Consumer Electronics Show 2012. And in just a moment, I've got Sarah Giles here from Nokia, and she is going to show us. We've got it. The Lumia 710, you've already seen that one. That's T-Mobile's got that. But the new Lumia 900 from AT&T. Also news about this Lumia 800 that you guys were talking about in just a second. But before we do that, can I mention our good friends at Ford who are making our broadcast possible today? Ford is here at the show big time. In fact, Alan Mulally, we're going to talk to him this afternoon, the CEO of Ford, about 3 o'clock live on our stream. We'll also be... I'm going to be having dinner with Alan and finding out about the latest plans Ford has. At the Detroit Auto Show yesterday, they showed the new Fusion for 2013. What a sweet-looking car. They've got it here on the show floor. We're going to go over take a look. But the neat thing about Ford, of course, and I've talked about it many times before, is the Ford Sync, the idea of keeping your hands on the wheel, your eyes on the road, but talking to your car to get it to do all sorts of things. The new Ford Sync with App Link, you'll find it in the 2012 Fiesta. So sweet. You press the button, and the Fiesta, the button is, it's on the turn signal right here. You press the button, the nice lady in the car goes, yes, what do you want? And you can say things like, run my Pandora app. The app is on your phone. It launches the app on your phone. You can say, play my classic rock station. It plays the station. You can give thumbs up, thumbs down to a song. You could say, hey, I like that song. Bookmark that. When I get home, I want to buy it. They also have Stitcher, Slacker. They have OpenBeak, which will read your tweets to you, your replies and your timeline. I just have to say, they are just doing an amazing thing. Alan told me last year, he said, we realized that applications in the phone are going to iterate faster than we could possibly iterate your car. So by creating an API for Ford Sync to talk to the phone, it means that phone app developers can interface with the car in a very elegant, simple way. And we're going to see more and more apps working with your Ford vehicles. I want you to take a look at the 2012 Ford Fiesta. They've got one at a dealer near you. Just drive one today or go to Ford.com/technology to learn more
about all the amazing technology that's in these new Ford vehicles. AppLink is available on some models, and of course you have to have a compatible smartphone, but you'll find out all about it at Ford.com/technology. And we do thank Ford so much for giving us the wherewithal to cover CES Live. Sarah Giles has just joined us. She is working for Nokia and showing off some phones. I see the Lumia 710, which is a beautiful phone. That's that. Now they've announced T-Mobile availability, right?
That's right. So this is going to be available in stores tomorrow through T-Mobile. It's $49.99 on contract.
Wow, very affordable.
Great deal. We all know T-Mobile has great affordable plans as well. So if you're looking for a good smartphone option, this is it.
But next to it is the phone that I've been waiting for.
Right.
Now, I've played with the Nokia N9, which is just a beautiful, and this is exactly like it. The same, I just love the rounded edges on it. The hand feel is great. 4.3-inch AMOLED screen. But this is running Windows Phone 7, and I think it's just... Where's the on-off switch?
It's on the side right there.
There it is,
under
in the middle.
Rocker.
Yeah,
there
I see it right there. So I just want to give you a look at that screen. I'll slide this up. Just a gorgeous screen. The hand feels great. 8-megapixel camera in here?
That's right. The rear camera is 8-megapixel.
Slide it.
It's our Carl Zeiss optics. You're only going to get that on Nokia. And then we've also added the front-facing camera on this device as well.
So, and Paul and Mary Jo were talking about this. There is a Lumia 800. That's basically the one that's sold in Europe without the front-facing camera.
Correct.
Slightly smaller screen.
Correct.
And you've announced that that will also be available unlocked in the U.S. at Microsoft stores. That's cool. So for people who want a phone that they can take to Europe with them, take the SIM card out, put in a European SIM card, that kind of thing, which is, I always have one phone. In fact, it's a Nokia phone that I always have for that. But this is going to be, I think, the Windows phone that everybody wants to take a look at. If you've been, I mean, I hate to deprecate the Titan. We were just looking at the Titan 2. Very nice. All I can say is in my hand, this just, there's something about it. It just feels really, really great. Dedicated camera buttons like all the Windows Phone 7 phones, 7.5, this is Mango. So there it is. No price and availability yet?
Not yet. You're going to have to stay tuned for that, but it will be exclusive with AT&T.
And Sarah was very clear that I could only hold it for a minute. I would have to give it back to you. Thank you, Sarah, for dropping by with that.
You are very welcome.
That is a very nice phone. I really appreciate it.
Glad you like it. We like it, too.
Yeah, I bet you do. We'll send you back to Paul and Mary Jo as we continue with Windows Weekly and our coverage of CES 2012.
First thing I want to say is, Sarah, call me. Because I really want to see that phone.
Yeah,
so what do you think? Ultrabooks? Do we have time? I'm not sure how much time we have today. I somehow think, or for some reason think, this is going to be a shorter show than usual. But if we had time, maybe we could go through the Ultrabook stuff.
Yeah, you could try. I just want to say the words downward facing dog on Windows Weekly. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
No, I don't.
You don't.
Is this a reference to a yoga?
Yoga.
Okay.
Yes. The yoga split. The Lenovo.
That's the one I want to see the... Well, it's one of the ones I want to see the most.
So, Paul, a downward-facing dog is like an upside-down V in yoga. So, get it now? It's how they can bend that thing like all different ways, you know, like
it's like the girl from The Exorcist when she walked down the stairs upside down.
I think you and I are in different planes. I'm talking yoga, you're talking Exorcist.
we're going to arrive at the same place. Let's take a different
we are. We're going to end up in the same place. Yeah. But yeah, that looked pretty cool, actually. The yoga split. I thought that looked cool. $1,200, maybe.
Okay.
Did you get to hold one or try one out?
What's that?
Did you get to try one out, hold it, or
no? Not yet. I had a pre-briefing with Lenovo, but it was virtual, so no, not yet. And I'm going to go. I'm actually going to visit Lenovo because I didn't go to the show because they've got so much stuff coming out, and that obviously is one of the big ones. But you know, some people have misunderstood it. You know, a lot the more cynical out there, and I know that's surprising on the internet, have said, you know, this thing weighs like twice as much or three times as much as an iPad. Why would I want something like that? You know. And it's not meant to be an iPad competitor. It's a laptop that can sometimes be used as a tablet, you know. And it takes the notion of convertible tablets that we had, 10 years ago almost now, back with the original tablet PC line. And it adds a twist, if you will. So it has that screen that can turn around and flip back and, you know, be placed back the top of the keyboard, so you have kind of a thick slate type device. But it also works in that fashion that you were talking about, the yoga pose backwards modes, you know, as a stand, and you know, where it's in essentially an upside down V, like you said. And then also as you kind of can flip it around and use it backwards. It even though it has two hinges, it can rotate 360 degrees. So it can go, you know, come around all the way. And I think that's very interesting.
Cool. Yeah, it looked cool. I think your point about this is, remember, this is a PC, not a tablet, right? And this is where Microsoft kind of trips over itself in a way, because they keep saying tablets are PCs, right? And a 3-pound tablet is not a great tablet.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's a good business tablet.
But you know, the beauty of the PC industry, in the same way that the PC model has its deficiencies, certainly, you know, on the plus side, you have this range of choices, and it's a diverse world, and everyone has different needs. And some people are going to want something that is a laptop first and foremost, but sometimes it can be a tablet. You know, if what you're looking for is the lightest possible device that you can carry around in your bag and or just in your hand, and it weighs next to nothing, no, this is not going to be the one you want. But the nice thing is, in the PC world, you will have that choice as well. You know, we're going to see traditional, traditional, the iPad's only 2 years old. We're going to see iPad-style slates that are very thin and light and hopefully get good battery life. But we're also going to see things that are full machines. You know, and this is more of a traditional laptop that has extra capabilities. And I think that's a cool one.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm really dying to see, and I've been dying to see this since Build, is an ARM tablet. I just want to see, you know, okay, what are these things going to be like? How big are they going to be? How heavy, you know? And I mean, because I think about this year for me as like kind of an average consumer, and I'm like, I want a new tablet this year. And the thing I want to wait and see is Windows 8 on a tablet. So for me, these new form factors, Ultrabooks and thin and lights, they're cool. But I really, really want to see Windows 8 on a tablet that's meant to be a true competitor to the iPad. And so that's what I'm hoping when this beta build comes out at the end of February, as they stressed again last night, that's the timing. I'm really hoping that by then we finally can see Windows 8 on ARM and see some slates and true tablets at that point.
Yeah, I'd like to see some kind of Transformer Prime type ARM devices for Windows 8, where it is an iPad essentially when you're on a plane or sitting out of the couch, you know, kind of browsing the web while you're watching TV or whatever. But you know, when it comes down to it, you really need to get work done. You can clip a laptop style keyboard onto the bottom of that thing, and it is a Windows laptop. It's a real Windows machine. And again, I think we are going to see that entire. I know we are. I mean, of course we are. That's the whole. I think that's the whole point. I guess we only have a couple of minutes for this segment. I just wanted to quickly throw out the notion of Vizio entering the PC market. I think that if you have not seen these devices, you should look at them. They're beautiful and Apple-esque, if you will. Very thin, all-in-one PCs, and also Ultrabook-type computers. Some beautiful stuff. And if you're not familiar with Vizio, they're essentially one of the low-ball, cheap PC. I'm sorry, TV makers. In fact, we have one in my living room. The reason we bought the TV is because it was literally half the price of the comparable, whatever, you know, tier one brand, TV, but it's beautiful looking and it works well. And, these PCs look fantastic.
Yeah. I haven't seen them, but I'm very interested in seeing those, cause a lot of people were really raving over those at CES yesterday.
Yeah, so. I think that was kind of a nice surprise. So, you know, the PC market is supposedly dying, but here we have another, a surprise player. And, you know, another indication that maybe the PC market of the future is going to be very different from that one that used to be just Dell and Compaq and HP. You know, it's a different world these days.
And that's a good thing. I mean, I felt like the newer vendors are the ones bringing more innovative and more innovative designs and not afraid to try things that some of the established vendors are seemingly afraid
to. I think that's actually what it requires. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's good.
Yep. I agree. All right, so I think we need to head back again. I haven't heard a voice in my head in a few minutes, but I'll throw caution to the wind and hope that it just works.
I'm confused. We'll find out. Brian Jacquette will explain all in just a moment. But first, let's talk a little bit about Audible.com. I love Audible. Paul loves Audible. 100,000 books in your library. Audible is just fantastic for people who have time to, you know,
live, but not time to read. You know, if you're in a commute, if you're on the plane, if you're at the gym, I spend a lot of Audible time on the Stairmaster. It's just great. Times when you couldn't really hold a book, but you can listen, and the books come alive. Paul's recommendation, the book he's listening to right now, is called Micro. It's a Michael Crichton novel. Now, I think you know Michael Crichton passed away some years ago. So Michael did not, in fact, write this novel. It's with Richard Preston. But Paul says it's a fantastic kind of follow-up to the Crichton nature versus technology meme that you probably remember from Jurassic Park. It's about science run amok, says Paul. This time, pharmaceutical companies that are doing biological prospecting, finding and exploiting previously unknown microscopic forms of life. And guess what? Who knew? Something goes wrong. Some have said this book has too much of Crichton's co-author in it. I don't see that at all, says Paul. Crichton's gift is making the fant... Wait a minute. Is Crichton still alive? Did I just say he was dead and he's not? I thought he passed on. Crichton's gift is making the fantastic not just believable but plausible. When you read Micro, you believe this could happen. Chat room, is Michael Crichton still alive? I'm asking the chat room. Anyway, I'm not laughing at his choice. I'm sure it's a great book. In fact, I know people who read it who say they love it. But it's just one of 100,000 titles you can get for free. Not all 100,000. You get to pick one for free by going to audible.com/windows. audible.com/windows. You'll be signing up for the book a month plan. Your first book is your first month is free. Your first book is free, and you can cancel at any time, and it's yours to keep forever. So it costs you nothing. audible.com/windows. And yes, the chat room is confirming that Michael Crichton passed away 4 years ago. I don't think he wrote this, but anyway, thank you, chat room, for confirming that I'm not nuts. You know, the worst thing in the world is to say somebody's dead when they're not. You know, that's terrible. We do miss Michael Crichton. He was a great writer, but you know, the books go on. It's kind of magical. I don't know exactly how that's happening. Your pick of the week, Micro, M-I-C-R-O, by Michael Crichton, but there are 100,000 great titles to choose from. Do sign up for Audible. They play on all your iDevices, your laptop computer, your Kindle, if you have an audio-enabled Kindle. What I do is I have the Audible app on here. My whole Audible library is on here. This is an iPhone, but it also works on the Android phone. I download the books I want, get on the plane, and I am listening, and I love it. Audible.com/windows. Try it free today. Brian Jacquette is an old friend. He's been how many CESs have you been to, Brian?
Oh, geez. I mean, probably...
You know, there have been 47 of them, and you've been to all but one.
Probably about like eight then, maybe.
Okay.
Eight or nine.
It's fun, you know, but it's exhausting, especially when you're here representing a product and you got to get the demos working. And I know you...
Well, especially the timing of it as well, right? Where it's... This year's a little bit later because it's right after after the holidays. But
you spend the holidays getting ready. That's what Apple always complained about, right?
So a lot of people complain about.
Right. So you're working with OnLive.
Yep.
I didn't really say it right. OnLive is a very interesting technology. It was announced at CES, I think, 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
Came out last year, roughly. Or has it been 2 years?
No, it's been
2 years.
Almost 2 years. Came out in E3 2010.
It lets you game, but you don't have to have a high-end gaming machine. You can use OnLive device, or you can use a smartphone or a tablet.
Right. It's all done in the cloud.
It's amazing, and play high-end games. Plus, it's affordable because you don't buy the games. I mean, a game these days is $60. OnLive is how much a month?
Well, it can be a la carte. It's actually free to create an account, and actually you can play virtually every game on our service. We have over 200 now. For free, up to 30-minute demos.
Oh, that's
so
great.
You can just jump right in with your PC or Mac and play.
If you're concerned that maybe the bandwidth isn't enough or whatever, try it.
Yep.
And I'm sure that's why you guys do it. You get a chance to see that it works.
Absolutely.
And it really does.
That's the most important thing, is that you know, you're able to jump right into the service basically in seconds, creating a free account. If you want, we have a subscription service. It's called PlayPack. It's $9.99 a month. It gives you access to over 100 games unlimited. And then, you know, the big AAA titles, you know, the ones that all came out in November and December, Batman Arkham City, Saints Row the Third.
Really? You've got that kind of high-end stuff?
Those types of games as well.
Wow.
We sell those a la carte. You know, we sell
them for... Because they're
premium. Yeah, you know, $45 to $60 or so.
So it's like buying the game, except that you don't have to have a very high-end PC to play it.
Right.
In fact, you've got an iPad running. Now, I swear I saw Windows on that iPad a second ago.
You did a second ago. Absolutely. I mean, and so, you know, one of the things that we have... we've been talking about is extending this gaming service to mobile platforms.
It doesn't have to just be games. iOS,
but the technology, absolutely right, the technology that we've built, the server-side technology we've built, is very, very well designed for delivering other types of services, other types of applications. Gaming is but one of those applications. And one of the announcements, a big announcement we made just yesterday was that we are delivering what's called OnLive Desktop, and that is, to begin with, that is a free service to gives you up to 2 gigabytes of storage to basically access and upload your Word, Excel, PowerPoint documents.
Can you show us? Because we've got a shot of the screen there, and just, if you want,
just
so basically, I'm going to be running. I'm going to be running an iPad with an ARM processor, but on the screen will be Windows 7, Microsoft Office. I have a keyboard. I have a mouse. I mean, how do I do that
There's two things. You can use there's a stylus. Here we go. Stylus.
So the monitor is to your right, so you can just see what we're seeing. So you're going to have to be like Ginger Rogers and do it upside down and backwards. Good luck.
Is that good?
Yeah, that looks great.
So this is your desktop. There will be a web service that allows you to easily update, upload documents.
Now, is this remote access, or is this a desktop in the cloud?
It's not my desktop in the cloud. It's remote access, but for easy manipulation of documents, of basically both manipulating as well as presenting.
So I'll put a client on my computer at home. It's kind of like log me in or go to my PC.
Yeah, to a certain degree. Yeah. So, but
you're doing more on the server side?
Well, we basically crunch it. We upload and we give you access to all those documents, whether it be PowerPoint, Excel, Word documents. You can use a Bluetooth keyboard to manipulate. You can use a stylus for entry. You basically now and actually think of this as this being the first client. You know, iPad is the first client. You could have this running on your Mac. You could have this running on your TV.
And you're doing online. Android.
And you could have this running on Android as well. So, you know, the power of OnLive is that we've got these clients now that run across the gamut from, you know, from the TV
down
to...
It's very interesting. It's not a pivot. It's an addition. You're still doing the gaming.
Yes.
But now you're saying, well, look, we figured out a way to do this for games. Right. Why not do it for operating systems and applications as well? How interesting.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's definitely a... let me just pull up something here.
And the touch works and everything. So it will be a download from the iTunes App Store January 12th, day after tomorrow.
And later this week, exactly. And then free and to download, and you know, you can create an account.
Up to 2 gigabytes.
Yeah, the website is desktop.onlive.com. It's up and running right now. So you can go in there and check out all the information. There's a video running that kind of gives you an idea of what we're doing.
And then will eventually there be a paid service associated with
this? There is a paid service that's going to be coming out that will give you more storage. It will be geared towards also some enterprise variations. And also, you know, look at this. The Office apps are the first piece of this puzzle. There will be other applications that will be available. You know, we've shown demos of very, very graphics and processor intensive applications running in the cloud, whether it be, you know, an AutoCAD or you know, Maya type of application.
You know what's interesting is Microsoft made a big deal, and I don't think they talked about it. I'll have to ask Paul and Mary Jo about Office apps on the iPad, you know, having special iPad apps. You scooped them. Well, forget that. Use the real Office on your iPad.
That's right. And this is the
full
the
Office.
Full Office on the iPad.
And free.
And free, and I think that's the real key piece here, is that this is not a slimmed down version. This is not an optimized version.
Is this free forever, or is this eventually you're going to charge for this, or how, do you know what the plan is?
It's free.
Now. Enjoy.
Like I said, there are services. Right. We call them like a pro version. It gives you optimized.
It costs
access.
You something though, because I presume you have to license Office for every user.
Yeah, standard licenses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at some point, I don't think this will stay free, but for now, take advantage of it. Yeah. It's a free app. You can find out more at desktop.onlive.com. And, of course, onlive.com game service is also online. And
You know, one of the things we launched, just not to pivot again here, but one of the things we launched at in early December was access on your tablet for gaming. And we actually have a wireless controller out now, and so you can play your favorite games wirelessly, using a controller or through touch controls as well.
Wow.
And so it's available right now on Android, and it's coming to other tablet platforms.
I'm going to give you a crazy question, and you can if you don't know the answer. But when it comes on the Mac, would I be able to use AirPlay to have the game on my iPad, but then have it put it up on the big screen TV? Similarly, DLNA on an Android phone, putting it on the big
screen. That's what all the gamers are asking right now. They're saying, well, wait a minute. So if you're doing apps, could you sideload other types of apps?
Yeah.
And clearly there is opportunity. We have not made any specific announcements other than what you see here today.
The sky's the limit on this.
But yeah, and I think that's the key piece. Is that
who started on live? Is it Steve Perlman? It is Steve Perlman.
Steve Perlman.
So Steve, of course, very well known entrepreneur who's done some really amazing and interesting.
Web TV.
Sold it to Microsoft. Was living in his, Tahoe mansion. And said, all this cable stuff sucks. Came up with Moxie, right? And now he's doing OnLive. This is a very smart guy.
He's a very smart guy. And this is, what we've said all along is that the IP that we put into this on the server side and everything that goes into basically delivering instantaneous access to games and also, having a controller going back and forth, right? The latency and
There's a lot going in there.
So you can do a lot with that technology.
Well, and it's funny because I'm stupid. Steve's thinking a mile ahead. I thought, games. But of course, you could do anything on this. This is very interesting. Yep. Brian, great to see you.
Great to see you.
If people want to try the desktop, you can go to desktop.onlive.com.
Yeah.
And try it right now. The app will be available on the iTunes App Store in a couple of days later this week. And, of course, onlive.com for the gaming as well. It's great to see you, Brian. Thanks for joining us. Let's go back to Mary Jo and Paul as we continue with Windows Weekly live from CES 2012.
Hey, I guess we're back. So we only have a few minutes. I guess we'll do our picks, and then Leo can wrap up the show from Las Vegas. I would like to point out that, yes, Michael Crichton is dead, but that book was partially finished by him, so somebody finished it for him. My tip of the week is about consolidating multiple email accounts, and because we don't really have a lot of time, this could be a long, long discussion. I did post an article to the SuperSite for Windows today about my own move toward Hotmail and Exchange for personal and work-related email, and I linked to in that article are a series of articles I wrote last summer about email consolidation, because there are different ways you can do it up on the server by collecting mail from a central account or by forwarding mail to a central account. You could consolidate using an email application, both in Windows or on the Windows phone or whatever. So all that stuff is available up on the web, and rather than try to rehash it quickly here, I would just direct people in that direction. My software pick of the week, and this was kind of a tough one because actually there's a lot of new software this week. I had to make a separate list for my app picks because there's a bunch of stuff coming down the pike. But it's an application called Pano for Windows Phone. It's a classic photo panorama application that appeared first on iOS and I believe on Android. And they've released a version for Windows Phone, and it does exactly what it sounds like it does, which allows you to take a bunch of pictures side by side and then create a single seamless panoramic photo right on your phone. And it's a fun app for that. I believe it costs $1.99, possibly $2.99. I didn't write the price down, unfortunately, but it's a great app. And if you want to make panoramas on the go and then share them to Facebook or whatever right from the phone, this is a great way to do that. And Mary Jo?
Yes. So enterprise pick of the week is going to be Office 365, the K plan. The K plan is the kiosk worker plan, which is the low end of the Office 365 product family. And the reason I'm highlighting it this week is Microsoft's going to be adding three new sets of capabilities to the K plan that are pretty interesting to business users. One of them is they're adding Exchange Active Sync support for mobile devices to it. And right now you only have the POP connectivity with the cave plan. So this is something I think a lot of businesses will be interested in, since EAS, Exchange Active Sync, is quite prevalent on other devices. There's also going to be doubled email storage, up from 500 megs to a gigabyte. And then Exchange Online Archiving also will be available for people who have the K plan. So the catch is, you figured there had to be a catch. K plan right now costs either $2 per user per month or $4 per user per month, depending if you're using Exchange Online only or if you're using all Office 365. If you want to add these three new features, which I hear are probably going to be available as of March 2012, you're going to have to pay an extra $3.50 per user per month. So that's the enterprise tip of the week. And the codename pick of the week, I kind of dug into the archives for this one, but I thought it was fitting given Consumer Electronics Show this week. So the codename pick of the week is Lakeview. And Lakeview, some people may know, was the codename for Silverlight for Xbox. It was not the original codename for Silverlight for Xbox. I actually don't know what the very first codename for that was, but at one point that codename was Greenlight, and then it became Lakeview. And the reason it's important this week is, you know, Microsoft showed at CES a lot of the new and coming Xbox Live TV services. And they were built on top of Silverlight for Xbox, even though Microsoft never wants to say that and never talks about that. So that's Lakeview on your Xbox, if you were wondering what's enabling all that TV goodness. And I wanted to throw in one more bonus codename pick of the week, because we have listeners of Windows Weekly in Montana. And after last week where we talked about my home craft brewing escapades, I got a suggestion from one of our Montana listeners who said, I should name my next batch of code of home brew by codename Billings. So that it is. MJF Homebrew 2 will be Billings. Thanks. Oh,
what a rip. What about Boston?
Sorry, that's going to have to be another one, not this one.
Oh, well. Maybe and Dedham, D for Dedham.
Dedham is not on the list, Paul. Although fine. It could be added for a fee.
We'll talk.
Yeah, so that's it. That's what on our picks, I think.
All right. So my understanding is we need to hand this back to Leo so he can wrap things up from Las Vegas.
Thank you, Paul. And we are wrapping it up for Windows Weekly from CES 2012. I thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back at our regular time on Thursday next week, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on twit.tv. Do stay tuned, though. Lots more coverage live from CES, and I think lots more Microsoft coverage when we talk about things like Ultrabooks, Windows 8, Xbox, Windows Phone. In many ways, this is the most Microsoft-y CES in years. Leo Laporte for Paul and Mary Jo, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.